like I'm cool, a way too deep dive into the shallowest people on the planet. I'm Elizabeth, and string me along and leave me yearning. Now your hair is fried and your scalp is burning. And that is for Joe on Vanderpump Rules. Thank you. I was really proud of this tagline this week.
Nice.
I am joined by my lovely friend and co-host, Mr. Alex Morand.
I'm so mad at you because that is just a so much better version
of mine. Oh my gosh. Okay, ready? I'm ready.
You can bleach my hair, but you can't teach me to care. And that could either mean you can't teach him to take proper care of his hair after you bleach
it. Oh, yes. That's a good point. Like,
does a terrible job of maintaining whatever Joe is trying to go for with him. Or to care for Joe.
All right. We are also joined by my lovely sister and our co-host, Julia, who hopefully has a Joe and Schwartz tagline.
I come to you with no tagline. Instead, I have a pitch.
Okay.
It is a From the City to the Suburb spinoff, like The Valley, and it's called Suburb House.
Is it for...
So Kyle and Amanda can still make money while Amanda gets everything she wants. And I really think that is what Kyle and Amanda's fighting is for, because we've been with this couple for 8 years. They haven't stopped fighting. And if they got too happy, the show would be done. Summer House is them fighting.
I feel like if Summer House were like a sitcom, like a long-running sitcom, it would end with Kyle and Amanda moving into the summer
like
house.
In Friends, where Chandler and Monica moved to the suburbs?
Yeah. They'd be like, babe, where would we be the happiest in our life? Right here, in the summer house.
And then they would like hold hands and pan out with a drone shot. I love it, Alex. Well, speaking of spinoffs, I have a little update. Alex, you no longer have to go to Jax's in Studio City to watch his recap, because Jax had to issue a formal apology that was totally written for him by Bravo HR, where he apologized for calling Vanderpump Rules fake. He said that he had had too much caffeine, and he was like straight up reading from a script. Yeah, that's what we're calling it now.
Oh, pasta. My gosh. Fire Jax once, he's putty in Bravo's hands.
All right, we have our four shows this week. Let's start with Martha's Vineyard. I was not ready for Shanice's mom to be so weird. It kind of explained a lot.
Yeah, her mom is one of those moms who's like a friend. She's not really a mom.
I think Shanice might need a mom, you know?
So many Bravo mom, or just parents, even grandparents, judging by this week's Summer House OG, are like that. Or like once the cameras are rolling, they're like their best friend.
Yeah, they're drinking margaritas outdoors on slopes on the water. Yeah.
We got to see an interesting side of Jordan. Jordan cried about her hair loss, which was really, really sad. But I think that kind of sheds a light on Jordan as a whole. A lot of people knock her for being cold on both Summer House and then also on Winter House. But like, there's, you know, when you look in the mirror and you don't like something that you're seeing, like it makes you feel horrible all the time. So I think that was like a very cool part of Jordan that we got to see this week.
And I disagree with like that opinion that Jordan's that people cold. Have. Yeah, I think she's chill.
I think that she has boundaries and that she's not going to put up with, I'm sorry, Alex, your fave, Phil, screaming in her face. I didn't
remember. Right, let's not call him my fave. Okay.
I didn't remember, like, I remember getting bad vibes from Phil, but I didn't remember, remember until it's like him pushing his chest up against Jordan or him pointing, what was that, like a squirt gun, a BB gun at Preston? Calling him soft.
Yeah.
Doing that, he was trying to establish dominance over Preston and like, no.
Which clearly really upset Preston. And from that situation, I remember being like, what the fuck? And it just seems so weird that Bria and Jasmine, I feel like, were really pushing Phil on us at the time. And now Jasmine has backed off. But like, how do they know this guy?
They hang out with him when they're in LA. I think he gets them into all the clubs, and I think he shows them like a good rock and roll lifestyle time
in
LA.
He might
That's
have
the
some
vibe
pasta connections too, you know?
Yeah.
So some great Italian places.
I'm bummed. I was excited to see him come back because I feel like what would happen is he would do the same thing again immediately and get kicked off again immediately. So it wouldn't be that much of an issue.
And like I keep saying, we really need more men. Like we don't need evil men, but the fact that we're inviting another woman.
We got two bonus men who I thought for sure, I'm like, oh, here's Julie's men we asked for. Mm-hmm. But then never to be seen again. That was weird.
Yeah,
I know. And Noelle is coming on so strong with the one. And the next day is like, I didn't like how strong he was coming
on. I want to know what happened. I totally agree with you.
Me too. We didn't see.
Speaking of Noelle, Alex is maintaining his spot at this the worst member in Summer House. Noelle goes out of her way to bring him a special snack because he's vegan. And then he goes, I don't eat tofu. You're vegan.
Which begs what the do question, what do you eat?
Do you know Alex is only vegan during the 2 weeks he's at Summer House?
Oh, 100%. And he only doesn't sleep with women in the house for the 2 weeks of Summer House.
Yeah, bullshit. Alex is the worst, but like Noelle was coming on so strong in the club when she said, you're acting like you're single.
Okay, I think Noelle, because she said everybody in the house was telling me that he really liked me, I think the producers got to her. I give her a pass. It's her first season on reality TV. She had the adults in the room. Her boss is essentially telling her.
You need to go tell Alex. All right. Fair enough.
Yeah. That, because when she said people in the house, and it's like not that many people said anything to her, I think she meant the producers.
The producers could have even been like, this is going to be a storyline this season. So like we need you to have that like happen.
Well, yeah.
You know, they could have been pulling all sorts of tricks on her.
And Alex is where storylines come to die. So.
Yeah.
Well, a little final thought. In real time this week, our boy Preston got engaged. So congratulations, Preston. We love you so much. Honestly, he's like one of my favorite Bravo stars of all time. Since I live in the Martha's Vineyard area, I'm totally not secretly hoping that I just casually run into him because the little boat that takes them there is right by my house. So
you are going to be stalking his stories.
Oh, 100%. All right. Are we ready for Summer House OG?
Yes.
All right. We're playing the game. Whose side are we on?
Lindsay's.
I don't know.
I'm
still neither.
I'm getting more and more lost.
I can't say.
And I'm really trying to give Lindsay the benefit of the doubt more, but I don't like that Carl is saying, oh, Kyle would have been my best man if it wasn't for Lindsay. I don't like that at all.
I feel like that they've already broken up in this weird way and they just haven't told us because Lindsay didn't go out.
But Carl did.
Right. Lindsay always goes out. Like, she made the conscious decision not to fight with Carl that weekend.
And to tell everyone that they don't have sex and didn't make each other.
Right.
Down. Okay, I have to bring that
up. Okay, people lie about sex. What do we think?
I think that's true.
Do you think this is the extreme version of them lying? This is the new Bravo lying about sex?
I think this is real. I think that they don't have sex. I think that they tried to have sex and it just wasn't working. But, okay, I want to poach two things. Number one, I'm just going to say the Lindsay part first. Why would Lindsay say that on TV if she thought they were going to get married?
That's why I think they might be broken up
already.
How can
you say that on TV and then be like, oh, I was blindsided? However, the counterpoint to that is Lindsay is herself all of the time. Lindsay never thinks about the optics.
Yeah. The point I want to make to that is that this is like their first good weekend that they're having. They keep talking about that. And like they're being really nice to each other. They're making little quips about Lindsay's butt.
Mm-hmm. That feels so fake though.
Yeah, exactly.
It feels like it's for our benefit.
It does feel like they're done. But then it gets complicated when you see her
grab his penis.
At like the dress, like when she's putting her dress on.
Oh, that. Yeah, like... I think about Carl Jr.'s appearance.
Oh, yeah. No, and it feels like, well, she just wants to get married. I mean, that's the most obvious thing in the world is that Lindsay just wants to get married. But that complicates the idea that, like, they are done at this point. Because she's still...
pretending they're not.
Yeah.
She's going to have a bridal shower soon.
Oh, that's going to be so painful to watch.
I know. Even her in the wedding dress as they're playing, like, end of Law and Order music was pretty bad. So my other part to that is people online are starting to say, you have sex once a month, if that, and nobody's coming. Carl's fucking around.
Or he's doing something else.
Yeah. They're with each other all the time. He's also been through a lot these last few years.
He also takes like 3 showers a day. Don't forget that.
Oh my gosh, Alex.
I've cracked it.
This is why we have a straight man on the pod.
I know.
It's true.
Or just a man.
Are we surprised that Sierra says that she's worried that West doesn't like her in the same way that she likes him?
I'm worried how much she likes him. We saw it happen with Austin. So?
I guess so. Okay.
West better not be a Schwartz slash Austin, the most unholy combo there could possibly be.
I love him so much, but he did say something that I was literally just talking about this weekend, so I feel like I have to call myself out, even though I love West. I was telling Pat, it drives me crazy when like dudes will be like, oh, I just can't be in a relationship. Like I can't trust freely because I really had my heart broken in my last relationship. And the person you're talking to is like 32. And you're like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. Like, what happened? How old, like, how long ago was this? And they're like,
he's like, my high school girlfriend broke up with me right before prom.
Like, yep. 12 years ago? What are you? She's married and has 3 children. Like, what are you talking about?
She doesn't remember your name.
No. So the fact that he was like, I've been hurt before when I had braces and I had acne and.
And I have to bring it up because my grandma called me out for it while the cameras were rolling.
It was his aunt. So.
His great aunt.
Oh, it was his aunt?
Yeah.
Oh.
So I didn't love that. That made me go a little ick. So I'm kind of worried. But the sleuths online have Sierra posted a picture wearing Wes's hat and then at Wes's family farm. But at BravoCon in December, she said she was single. So... But is she allowed to say she's not single, you know?
I think for some weird reason, they're deciding that this is what they want to keep for us. This is going to be like the aha moment because Andy Cohen's like, we're all going to have to just wait for the reunion to find out if they're together.
That makes me think it's going to be so boring. It's going to be like, yeah, we decided to be friends. Like, Sierra's a good time. Like, we have a good time together and it's fun. But like,
I think Alex is nailing it.
Kyle said he'd shave his mullet. Or I guess they're going to bring in like a barber to cut Kyle's mullet off at the reunion. So they might really be like grasping at straws or whatever.
Now, speaking of Kyle.
Yeah. Andy's had some misses, though. He called Lala the voice of reason. So, all right. As Alex said, speaking of Kyle.
This is the lowest, I dare say, we have ever seen this man in a way that I feel like in other times on this show.
Julie and I are like, cracking up right now.
I know. Brooke, it's felt like Kyle's at a low point because he's producing the show and is kind of like
hamming it up,
doing it for the show. But now he's getting like really, really sad drunk to the point where like I don't think he remembers that he's on the show in certain moments. In the way that like, Tom Sandoval's talked about how, like, when you're young and growing up on, like, a Bravo show, you kind of, like, forget how, like, you know, it blurs the lines between reality and, like, the show. Mm-hmm. I feel like Kyle is now just in that mode all the time because Amanda keeps on bringing stuff that he doesn't want to produce into the show. You can tell when they're on, like, the shore together, he's kind of like, what are you doing? Stop.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't want her to bring up the actual real stuff.
When he has said to her, being married to you is so lonely...
They hate each other.
Crushing.
But they're on vacation right now together. Like they're having like a beautiful, romantic, we're married vacation.
And it kills me because Kyle is always, and I love Amanda, so like let me be an Amanda stan for a minute. He's always bitching that she doesn't work enough or do anything. But then we see in the promos, or was it this episode, she's like, I think I need to get a job outside of you. And he's like, no, you can't leave. I have nobody else. I'm like, okay, which one is it? You're constantly saying she's not working enough and now you won't let her go?
And when he was showing off the non-alc line, Jesse Solomon was like, oh, wait, did Amanda do this? Because she does all of their graphic design. And he's like, oh, yeah, when she's like on it, she's really on it. It's like they have 15 lines. They've only been in business for a few years. She does all their merch. She does like
all of their packaging.
She works pretty hard.
And their packaging is constantly updating. Like they always have like new summer pack, like tie-dye pack, like they're always doing things and her stuff is really good.
She's seemingly, if we are to believe the sign-offs on the emails, doing all the outreach. that
oh
way.
Yeah, if you text lover boy, they text back love Kyle and Amanda.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I don't know, team Amanda. Also, he's staying out till 4 a.m.
Right. But I once think a week.
That's so bad. And I think once midweek, Julia, because he also stayed out till 4 a.m. the same weekend. Like, Kyle.
Right, but he gets a pass on that. But yeah.
Because he's out with his best friend, Paige, who then goes back and tells Amanda everything he says to her.
Yeah. One final thought. Oh, actually, two final thoughts. We got Jesse bringing home a girl. Very season one of Summer House. And I loved it.
A very quick
He kicks her out at night. That's
he
so
kicked
harsh.
Her out. Yeah. She comes at 4. She leaves at 5:15. No.
I don't think Jesse's Yelp page is very good. He might be a 3.5 star.
But also, he's looking for the one.
Oh, don't make me scoff.
The one testicle.
Well, Carl has 3, so you've got a whole set.
Between the two of them, they really do look similar. Okay, final thought. Wes said on a different podcast that he's like, I've always considered myself a good-looking guy, but now I'm on Summer House. People keep DMing me and being like, Wes, so nice to see a fellow ugly person on TV. Thank you for making me feel seen. And he's like, then I had an overweight guy message me and be like, so nice to see my body type represented. And this is like, wait, I'm not over. He's like, being an overweight guy with a fine face is really hard. So thank you for, you know, giving me something to look up to. And Wes is like, wait, what?
I don't understand that at all. That's crazy to me.
If they saw him in real life, he's sitting next to Sierra too long. That's the issue.
And then you like even see like the photos of him as like a football player. And you're like, oh,
I can see this. Okay. Yeah. Hilarious.
But yeah, Wes saying how he's styling himself isn't giving like sport announcer. So I see why people are a little bamboozled. No. That's all I gotta say.
I was.
All right. Really fast. Maybe I had like 5 final thoughts. We've got a Gabby appearance. Is she like not in the show anymore?
I think she's there next weekend.
Good God. So,
but yeah, oh, it's weird. It's I like she's being friend-oved mid-season. Yeah.
It's weird. I love her this season, but I honestly forgot she was on the show.
But Danielle too, until I was like, oh my God, Danielle's here.
Yeah.
All right. The Valley?
Yes.
All right. Kristen keeps saying that she is protecting Michelle and your secrets are safe with me. A daunting text to send after a huge fight.
Not just a text. The people in the group bring up how weird that is that she does that like seemingly all the time at events.
She says it out loud.
What is she protecting her from? That she's a Republican racist.
I think... because Kristen and Michelle had this bond when Kristen was with Alex and like our men are shitty to us. Mm-hmm. I think Michelle told her, and that's why when he was out of town, I
slept with Jax. And then Kristen was like, me too.
She's like, I'm actually sleeping with Jax right now. So I think it's something like that. I don't know.
I agree 100%.
And this is being floated around online, so I'm not going to take full credit for that.
And it also makes sense because Kristen is unhinged enough to just kind of like...
drop that.
Leave that out for people to interpret.
Yeah.
But we had another truth teller about sex life, and that was Brittany, who says they have sex like once a year. And this is
I believe that.
Where Jax is getting it somewhere else.
100%.
Yeah, he's not taking showers.
Yeah.
Ew.
No, he's going for a walk to Kristen's house.
We've seen his armpit stains on those shirts.
Jax and Kristen stand out in this show for 2 reasons. Number one, they're the only people who are so underdressed. For the 2 galas we've seen Kristen go to, she has worn Birkenstocks both times. And Jax can't pronounce hors d'oeuvres. But they also are working reality TV show circles around these poor people. Like, they don't realize.
I miss them. I missed them both so
They were both, like, the most intense out of VPR. And so now we're in this new place with, like, a bunch of reality TV show virgins, as Julia has called them. Like, these poor people don't stand a chance.
They're going to ruin their lives. All their lives are going to be ruined by being in their orbit. And they don't realize it.
I did think it was really funny that this goofy ass show we're watching has like a real foundation be the match that they're supporting, where we have Beverly Hills, they're going homeless, not toothless. I just thought that was really even funny.
Think of that. Yeah, out of all the galas we've been to, this gala,
a real gala with people.
It was at the Skirball like Institute, which is like a huge place in LA. Yeah. And otherwise it's like some like multi-purpose room that Dorit rented
with
out.
Just right. Them that they start a fight over, and they're like, how is this raising mm-hmm. money? This they had like silent auction, or they had a, you know, regular auction. Yeah, this was like,
they announced how much they made, and like it truly brought awareness to the event instead of us making fun of homeless not toothless, toothless not homeless.
So anyway, I just thought that was really funny that the real show in the same area can't yeah. get it right, but the Valley can.
I think that Jackson Brittany's kid has just been around Jack so much and sees how much trouble one gets into by talking, that is why the kid has decided to stall their development.
I know you're bringing that up as a ha ha ha. I got bad news.
What?
Well, this isn't like, this is just yes anding you, but from like a different perspective. So for our listeners, I worked with children with disabilities for 5 mm-hmm. years, and a lot of what I worked with involved speech delays. It's not uncommon. Mm-hmm. What you do is an early intervention, which is just what Jackson and Brittany are doing. One thing that speech delays can be caused by is having a volatile home life where a child doesn't feel safe to make mistakes mm-hmm. that you do when you're learning how to speak or to draw attention mm-hmm. to yourself. So as we're like, ha, ha, ha. If a kid's making like big steps in the wrong direction, that is something that you look at. And, you know, it could be a number of other things, but that is a little thing. So put it there. One thing that doesn't cause speech delays, however, is vaccines, like our good buddy Jax Taylor tweeted out. Julia, do you want to summarize the tweet?
What? I did not know this.
This is bad, Alex.
Oh.
Yeah, Jax tweeted or X'd. My son crawled early, walked early, and even spoke early. Then we got him vaccines and it stopped. I'm not saying vaccines are the cause, but what else could it be? How can kid be talking fully, walking fully, then stop 2 weeks after vaccinations?
Because you won't stop screaming at him and his mom, and he's scared of you. I wouldn't say that for every kid with speech delays. This one, I feel pretty confident.
You feel confident in saying it's not the vax, it's the jacks.
And that is the sense of humor and world needless that we bring to this Bravo show.
And I show Ho Cruz is doing better now that he just lives with Brittany.
Oh, I think there's no way he's not doing better. I mean, like,
yeah, absolutely.
If you were in that situation, if you were Jax and Brittany's roommate, would you ever leave your room, or would you hide in your bed and not talk to anybody? Same, Cruz.
Yeah. Yeah.
Poor Cruz. All right. Let's start with the world's worst fake storyline, Tori the Babysitter.
I can't even watch that.
I cringe.
I can't watch the screen.
They need to give James Kennedy a raise because he's the only cast member that made me kind of question it being real or a storyline.
Me too, to the point where I feel like he's the only one not in the loop with like production about what's going on.
Because you can't hear them over the planes.
It's so like, and I know that this is supposed to be like a sexy three-way thing, but the fact that Katie and Schwartz are so much older than Tori, and they've known Tori since Sheena has known her, which is its own questionable thing. Sheena keeps saying she's known Tori since she was 14. When Sheena's
and Tori's 24. Well, I think Tori was born when Sheena was 14.
But like, that means Katie has known Tori or been around Tori since Tori was a teenager. Like, it's too groomy for me. It's so
creepy.
Yeah,
I was thinking
like,
about that too.
And not just Katie. I'm saying that for like Schwartz and Katie. So now it's like this older couple that's like both coming after this young girl. This is like some Tinder Netflix documentary written all over it.
Yeah. I've never seen Katie behave this way.
It's weird.
Schwartz, I'm used to this. Because this is literally like what he did with like Raquel last season, where he's like, yeah, I'm going to pretend like I'm into you, but he's not at all.
Yeah, now we know that Schwartz just does this willy-nilly.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, we really have to talk about Schwartz, but I want to keep it to the end.
We do. We also just have to bring up the example of her being the example the show makes of, like, this is how young she is her little Bob Ross comment that made zero sense to me. I did not understand that at all. Where she was like, I didn't realize that, like, he was around when, like, there were camp. Like, I didn't really. What did she say?
Yeah, she was questioning the time in which Bob Ross lived.
Yeah, she's like, he was, like, on film. I didn't realize
He had,
like,
a TV show. How would you know him?
What do you think Bob Ross is?
I think she was putting him in, like, circa Monet.
Yeah. It's all fake. No, it's all fake.
It just showed how young she was and, like, the chemistry that Katie Maloney was, like, working her way up to at the bar did not carry over to the paint by numbers party, because there was, if anything, Katie was the art teacher.
Yeah.
And it wasn't sexy.
Speaking of not sexy, we have Tom Schwartz, but I'm really going to try to put us off to the end for that. First, I would like to talk about the Lala Sheena comforting Ariana with now Lala in real time going on her, like, hater tour. Have you guys seen Lala on all these podcasts?
Yeah.
Every week. She's on, like, 3 a week. It's bizarre. And I don't get why people keep saying Ariana just needs to move out so she can pay that mortgage and pay rent.
Well, it's clearly bad for her mental health for them to live together. But it sounds like they're working towards the direction of moving out. I honestly, like, she's going to be on it's like the host of Love Island US. I think it's just the opportunities. I think we've got some jealousy.
I think so too, because it's so, like, I'm not getting Lala at all. And I also don't get why Lala has, like, such a hard on for Katie sleeping with Max. Schwartz doesn't care. Why does Lala care?
She just doesn't like how bulletproof they both are right now.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, like, Lala, everything she does, she thinks gets, like, picked apart by everyone.
Right. Lala was the only one who condemned the sandwich party replay, being like, does anyone realize we did this last year and there's still no sandwich shop? Like,
I rather eat sandwiches that I've already had than drink water that tastes like milky semen or whatever that was.
Dinosaur piss. Come on.
Do you think if Sheena wasn't around to also kind of voice her sort of complaints about Ariana and Katie, Lala would be doing this still?
No.
Or do you think, like, because Lala's hearing another person say the things that she's also thinking, that's what's emboldened her to kind of go out? Because it's such a risky position Lala's doing. She, like, must know that, like, to go against Ariana at this moment is, like, the worst thing you can do.
Mm-hmm. I think that she's doing it because of Sheena, and I think Sheena's doing it because of Lala, because this week Ariana closed on her stint on Chicago and Broadway. Sheena went there because Brock really wanted to see Ariana's last show. Thank you, Alex. Big eye roll on that one. And then Sheena's on this podcast and is like, and we went all the way out there and I was like, Brock, we can't leave the baby for this long because we have Coachella next weekend.
Wait, so they didn't go to the show?
No, they did. But then she was mad that Ariana didn't, like, run out and say hi to her or something.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Not great. I mean, like, Sheena's always been cringeworthy and so has Lala. This is bad. And the reunion, I feel like, was filmed too long ago. Too much stuff has happened since the reunion. All right. Are we ready for the best storyline on Vanderpump Rules? Joe and Tom Schwartz.
The silent killer.
I first want to talk about the bleach. Joe immediately puts it on his roots, which, Alex, I know that you haven't had your hair fully bleached in so long, so let me give a little refresher for you.
Thank you.
You want to do the tips of it first, because if you start going into the roots, your head is hot, which speeds up the bleaching process, so you never do roots first. So when Joe starts slapping bleach on, like me in my dorm room bathroom my freshman year of college, messy, right on the roots, I thought, oh, that is going to feel bad. And then,
it was so concerning that her colleague had to check in with Schwartz and ask if he was okay, which was a major, like,
we got some reaction shots from the people there being like, ooh.
And then what does Joe do? She takes her fingernails, puts it in his bleach-covered hair, and scratches like you would if you were shampooing. Do you know how bad that must hurt? Like, I get, like, the money piece highlight thing in the front, and even having that, my eyes are sobbing the entire time, and I don't even go like that close to the root. So having it, your whole head to bleach that much and have it, that must have, that could have like burned him like permanently.
Mm-hmm.
So, ouch, but I love that it was like, oh, you're going on a date, shorts? Scratch, scratch, scratch.
Joe's yeah, revenge. I love that too.
Holes in Joe's story. She says she didn't know about the affair with Tom and Raquel. But then she says she thought that Tom Sandoval and Ariana broke up. So which is it? You didn't notice that he and Raquel were together, or it was fine because they were broken up?
She knew they were together and she didn't care.
Yeah, clearly. Just say that, honestly.
Wait, you know how you were saying that Lala is super anti-Ariana? Mm-hmm. Do you think Joe got to Lala? Is this Joe? Is this whole season brought to us by Joe?
I'm not going to give her that much credit, but I do I appreciate your ability to find breadcrumbs where they may, Julia.
Yes, I think that Lala's still kind of like icked out by Joe.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, Joe does not go with Lala's cool girl brand.
Yeah.
I feel bad for Joe, but then also, like, I don't know if there's a straight narrative in her head, because she tells us, oh, I thought this Tom was my boyfriend. And she went on Rachel Goes Rogue, Rachel Levis's podcast, and says that when they went to that party, they were like, oh, well, we'll get like red or maybe yellow even for the bracelets for that, like, you know, stoplight party thing they went to. And then Tom picked green, and she was like kind of heartbroken that he picked green. Because she's like, because he was my boyfriend. But then he told you that he went on a date with Tori when you were ruining his scalp. You guys are not as interested in the Joe lore as I am. Well, it is blowing my mind. No, you guys don't give a fuck.
I think that they have off-camera discussions where he's kind of like, come on, Joseph. We're like doing it for the show. Like, don't get too concerned. And then she saw that he was actually like making out with a woman at that event. And that got too real for her.
Totally, Alex.
Because he's also apparently telling her off camera that he loves her and all this stuff. So I think that, yeah, she does think that they're in a relationship. And he's, like, coached her on how to be on the show. And you have to, like, meet these other cast members and, like, be cool with them. But which she also might be interpreting as, like, this is how you become my girlfriend.
On the shows, if Lala likes you, then you can hang out with everybody more. Alex, that's a good point.
Right. She flat out said Lala is my ticket to this group. She didn't even I would like to create a relationship with her. She's just like, if I'm going to get in, I have to go through Lala.
But also because like Lala and Schwartz are weirdly like really good friends this season.
Yes.
And so that probably is like a big deal for Schwartz, where you have to be cool with her. If like,
because he called her a good mom last year, and for some reason all was forgiven after that.
Yeah.
And the makeout thing, she said on Rachel Goes Rogue that she like wasn't sure if he kissed somebody. And then he came back to the house where she has her own room, but sometimes she stays in his room. And then she said, did you kiss
anybody?
Oh, that
sounds so messy. I feel so bad because like I know the feelings she feels, you know, from like high school
when you were,
era. Where,
yeah, 16.
Yeah. And like the fact that she's been putting up with that feeling
for years. And know what?
Breaks
like
my heart.
I feel bad for her, but then at the same time,
she's doing it to herself.
She listened to him talk shit and do the exact same thing to Katie for years. And she's like, well, Katie doesn't get him because Katie's a drag. I'll be with him and he won't treat me like that. And guess what? Yeah, he did. And now you look like a fucking idiot on TV. But when she was crying and ran off and said, I'm going to go call my dad, I did feel really bad for her. And Sheena was a huge bitch to her at Hotel Ziggy. So I don't know what I'm trying to say.
That these wonderful people on our screens are complicated and we must empathize with them all.
This Joe storyline is my favorite storyline on Vanderpump Rules right now.
Yes, because it's like the realness is cracking through the producedness and we love it.
Oh,
love
Julia, that's so true.
It's true. I just wish Schwartz was the slightest bit more invested in what's happening. because he's been so ruined by the cameras rolling on him during devastating things that, like, this conversation he had with Joe, like, he didn't feel like he was even there. Their, like, final big thing on the couch.
No, he's, like, so happy that inviting her on the show has gotten it to where he's able to, like, break up with his not-real girlfriend. He's like, oh, thank God this is happening. No, Joseph, no, don't go,
and
no.
He probably thinks it's making him look, like, more desirable.
Right.
And, like, he's and thinking, just is removing him from the scandal thing in some sort of way.
But really, Joe will never wash off. He'll have to grow her out in the next 9 months. Julia.
Are we ready for awards?
Yes.
All right. My award is the Viewer's Voice Award, and I award it to Martha's Vineyard. I said I wanted a Bravo show that is like Survivor, and Martha's Vineyard voted people off the house. Julia said she wanted more guys, and we got more guys. This award goes to everybody who watches Martha's Vineyard, except for Alex, who wanted Phil and was not getting more Phil.
Damn.
All right, Alex, what's your award?
The Jax Invite Award, named after Jax Taylor inviting Kristen Doty's ex-boyfriend to an event with Kristen Doty's current boyfriend, that he was there and it didn't address it with him at all, goes to Jasmine from Martha's Vineyard, who invited Mariah without addressing this with anyone beforehand, resulting in Mariah getting her plane ticket before Bria had a chance to shoot this down. I think it'll be nice and messy.
I love it. All right, Julia, what's your award?
My award goes to the restaurant Soulmate. As amazing restaurant name, because we get reality TV stars like Kristen and Luke, and they say, have you been to Soulmate before? And she says, I haven't, but he has, which just leaves you thinking, oh no.
You know, we talk a lot about the Bravo sex life thing.
Oh, talk about two liars.
Really? I think they're telling the truth.
Oh no.
I think that they're extreme.
Yeah. I think sex every day is the only way to keep Luke from Montana in the summer.
Colorado, Julia.
Is it really? Yeah. See, I don't know anything. I will not remember his name. I will not remember where he's from. But I will remember how many bodies are buried on that property when I watch my documentary.
Now, Julia, you ended Vanderpump Rules with such an astute thought that we had to move on to awards, but I would like to pitch you my original tagline for this week as we wrap up this episode. You should know my yeses are really maybe. You can't be mad at me. I'm just a little baby. And that was for Tom Schwartz.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much for joining me.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
Anytime.
You can catch new episodes of the Don't Be All Like Uncool podcast every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and Podbean. You can also follow us on Instagram at Like Uncool Podcast. Remember to rate, review, subscribe, and mention it all.